Section 20. Upasaka into Dharmachari. As I had explained on the day the Western Buddhist Order was founded, Upasaka-Upasika ordination consisted in taking the three refuges and 10 precepts, and Upasaka-Upasika was expected to be a vegetarian, to practice right livelihood, and to lead a simple life. In addition, he or she was expected to meditate daily, to attend classes and go on retreat, and to give practical help to our new Buddhist movement. This was far, far more than was expected of an Upasaka, or lay Buddhist, in most parts of the Buddhist world, as I well knew. But as the years went by, and as older members increasingly organized their lives round the three jewels, the difference between them and the Upasakas of the East grew more and more pronounced. So long as the order was confined to Britain, this did not really matter, though the occasional visiting bhikkhu might express his astonishment that mere Upasakas should be so devoted to the Dharma and wonder why they were not all in yellow robes. When our new Buddhist movement spread to India, however, and when Upasaka-Upasika ordinations started being given on Indian soil, the difference between an ordinary lay Buddhist and a member of the Western Buddhist Order, or Trailokya Bodhama Sangha, as it was known in India, became more striking than ever. Indeed, the fact that ordinary lay Buddhists and members of the Trailokya Bodhama Sangha were called Upasakas tended to confuse people, and therefore to make our work more difficult, so that it soon became obvious that we would have to consider a change of nomenclature. The Western Buddhist Order was established in India in February and June 1979, in the course of my first 2 visits to the subcontinent since the founding of our new Buddhist movement in Britain. By the time of my 3rd visit, which took place in the winter of 1981-82 and lasted 4 months, the order there had grown in strength and maturity, and already the ex-untouchable Buddhists of central and western India were beginning to look to it for guidance. Indeed, the Indian members of the Trailokya Bodhama Sangha were themselves ex-untouchables, several of them being old friends and disciples of mine with whom Lokamitra had made contact on his arrival on the scene in 1977. Since my final departure from India in 1967, the followers of Dr. Ambedkar had had few opportunities of hearing the Dharma, and though much of the fervour with which they had originally embraced Buddhism remained, the vast majority of them were, unfortunately, Buddhists only in a very nominal sense. Thus, their going for refuge was, at best, a cultural or ethnic going for refuge, so that the difference between them and the Upasakas and Upasikas of the Western Buddhist Order, Trailokya Bodhama Sangha, who were by this time working among them, was truly enormous. At an order meeting held in New Bombay in March 1982 and attended by 21 order members, including 6 of non-Indian origin, I therefore proposed that the terms Upasaka and Upasika should be dropped, and that in future members of the order should be known as Dharmacharis and Dharmacharinis. Such a change of nomenclature would have several advantages. Besides distinguishing order members from ordinary lay Buddhists, it would serve to underline the difference between cultural and ethnic going for refuge and effective going for refuge. It would also make it easier for order members to deal with bhikshus, some of whom were inclined to adopt an arrogant and overbearing attitude towards mere Upasakas, even when they themselves were making no effort to practice the Dharma. After a short discussion, the meeting accepted my proposal, and in the course of the next few months, order members elsewhere in the world followed suit. Thus took place the transformation of Upasaka into Dharmachari and Upasika into Dharmacharini. Whether in its masculine or feminine form, the term by which members of the Western Buddhist Order were henceforth known was not in general use among Buddhists, and it was partly for this reason that we had selected it. At the same time, Hebrew is a thoroughly traditional term, being found in several places in the scriptures, notably in two successive verses of the Dhammapada, in each of which the Buddha declares, "The Dhammachari lives happily, both in this world and in the world beyond." Literally, Dharmachari, Sanskrit, or Dhammachari, Pali, meant Dharma farer, or practitioner of the Dharma, from Dharma plus Char, one who walks or lives, and was therefore an exact description of what a member of the order was or tried to be. It was also analogous in form to such terms as Brahmachari, Bhadrachari, and Kechari, just as Dharmacharya or Dharma faring was analogous to Bodhicharya. Moreover, by a fortunate coincidence, the second of the two Dhammapada verses in which the term Dharmacharya occurred was one of the three verses from the Dhammapada included in the last Vandana, as it was called, a set of Pali verses which the ex-untouchable Buddhists were in the habit of singing to a solemn and deeply moving melody at the conclusion of meetings, and which we ourselves had already adopted both in India and elsewhere. But though Upasikas were now known as Dharmacharis and Upasikas as Dharmacharinis, this was not just a change of nomenclature. It was very much more than that. During the 14 or more years that had elapsed since the founding of the Western Buddhist Order, many changes had taken place. Not only had order members increasingly organized their lives round the three jewels, so that they less and less resembled the Upasikas or lay Buddhists of the East, they had also organized their lives round the three jewels in such a way that, in the majority of cases, it was not really possible to regard them as belonging to any of the seven different socio-religious classes of persons into which the Buddhist community was traditionally divided. Dharmacharis and Dharmacharinis were simply Buddhists. They were individuals who had gone for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, and who, as a means of giving expression to that act in terms of their everyday lives, undertook to observe the 10 precepts. Thus, the 10 precepts were not the pratimoksha, to use the technical term, of any particular socio-religious class of persons, but represented the 10 great ethical principles which all seven classes of such persons had in common. They were what I called the mula pratimoksha, or fundamental moral code, and as such constituted, together with going for refuge itself, the fundamental basis of unity among Buddhists. 2 years after the transformation of Upasika into Dharmachari and Upasika into Dharmacharini, I sought to make this clear in section 6 of The 10 Pillars of Buddhism, the paper I read to you when we celebrated the Order's 16th anniversary. Towards the end of that section I said, "For the Western Buddhist Order, the 10 precepts, as mula pratimoksha, are in fact the discipline that supports the individual liberation, not only of the monk and nun, but of all members of the Buddhist community, irrespective of socio-religious status, or, in contemporary idiom, irrespective of lifestyle. Since there is only one set of precepts, i.e. the 10 precepts, so far as the Western Buddhist order is concerned, there is only one ordination, i.e. the Dharmachari Ni ordination, which means that in the Western Buddhist order, one is not ordained as a monk, or as a nun, or as a female probationer, or as a male novice, or as a female novice, or as a male lay devotee, or as a female lay devotee, but simply and solely as a full practicing member of the Sangha or Buddhist spiritual community, though it is of course open to one to observe, as personal vows, any of the rules traditionally observed by the monk or the nun, and so on. Strictly speaking, these rules are not observed in addition to the 10 precepts, but as representing the more intensive practice of one or more of the precepts within a certain specific situation or for a certain purpose. Not being a bhikshu, a member of the Western Buddhist order does not wear the stitched yellow garment of the bhikshu, and not being an upasika, He does not wear the white garments of the Upasaka. He wears the ordinary lay dress of the society to which he belongs, though without the implication that because he is not a monk, he must therefore be a layman in the traditional Buddhist sense. Thus, from the reduction of the rules comprising the 10 different pratimokshas to the 10 precepts or mula pratimoksha, there follows a reduction, or rather an elevation, of the various socio-religious groups within the Buddhist community to one great spiritual community, or Mahasangha. Such a reduction represents a return to and a renewed emphasis upon the basics of Buddhism. It can be regarded as innovative only by adopting a standpoint from which those basics are ignored, or from which they cannot be seen for the accretions and excrescences by which they have become overlaid. End of quote.